Lord bless each one, and we'll give everyone a very warm welcome in the service in the name of the Lord, and the Lord bless Colonel Kerry. And it's good to sing unto the Lord, and thank God that we have something to sing about to the Lord. I want to just take a simple little thought tonight from the book of Acts, chapter 26. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, and verse 18. And the title tonight that I want to preach on is Three Steps to Light. Three Steps to Light. It's just a short little message for any that's not saved or doesn't know the Lord tonight. Praise God. Verse 18 of Acts 26. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's bow our heads, and I want to pray again for the needs. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord. And God bless you, brother. Praise God. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless you this evening that we have an entrance that's been made by the Lord into the very presence of God, a new and living way, consecrated for us through the rent veil of thy flesh at the cross. Father, we would come tonight pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. We ask, Father, for the hands that's raised this evening, that you will meet every need. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch those in this room and touch those tuned in tonight. I ask you again for the Madison family, for your comfort and for your strength at this time, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray again for Sister Sheila, Lord, that you will touch her and raise her up in Jesus' precious name. Help me tonight, Lord. I do take and ask for the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This is just a simple few thoughts this evening. What I want to take from this scriptures. But this is the most vital of all qualifications for every man and every woman. And it all hangs on the promise of life. And now, it's the life here and the life hereafter that we need to be concerned about. It's one thing living here, but it's the hereafter that we need to have the assurance about. For it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we have the assurance of the life hereafter. For it is appointed unto man once to die, then after that there's a judgment. There's only one place where we can find a reliable, authentic source to the answer to that question. And that one reliable place where we can find the answer is in the Bible, the Word of God. And where God's Word is where we can find the answer to all life's questions. Now I want us to consider these three little thoughts tonight on three steps to light. Step one is to renounce sins. That's the first step. You can never come to light and life if you don't renounce your sin. Sin is an outward spiritual attitude of rebellion towards God, which is expressed outward in acts of disobedience. And we are all sinners in this way, and by our sinful lives we rob God of the glory due him. Now we know that sin is followed by three consequences. First, the inward spiritual death, or alienation from God. And the book of Ephesians tells us we were all aliens, drawn away from the commonwealths of Israel, strangers, the covenants of promise. But thank God, it also says, for by grace you are saved. Amen. And we all needed to be saved, so we were aliens from God. Then the second is the physical death of the body. One day we're going to die. If we go in the rapture, the Lord doesn't come, our bodies will go to the grave. There's a death of the body. Then third, the final banishment from the presence of God. And you know, is a second death. And I tell you, that's a place that none of us want to be looking for. But we want to have repented of our sins and come to the Lord. Now let us consider first the sins, that these two things that man committed in our opening scripture tonight, when he turned away from God. Romans 1 and 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So man knew God, but he wouldn't glorify him as God. That's what Paul's saying here. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and the foolish heart was darkened. They glorified him not as God. And that's the thing. God wants us to glorify him as God. He doesn't want us to glorify someone else in his place. Anything that you put in place of God's idolatry. I don't care what it is. It could even be a good man, but if it takes the place of Christ, it's idolatry. God must be first, because he is the one true God. Neither were they thankful, vain in their imagination. And God wants us to glorify him as God, and God wants us to be thankful. These people weren't thankful. They didn't acknowledge God as God, neither were they thankful. But we need to acknowledge God, that it's God that made the heaven and the earth. All things are made by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that's made. You know that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. And we're to worship the Lord. And God wants us to worship him, and God wants us to be thankful. Now I want to read you these few verses here in Romans 1, 21 down. And you know, when you say things about certain lifestyles, people say, there you are, he's condemning you, he's judging you. But the Bible here is the one that's doing the talking. All I'm going to do is read it. And it is the Bible that's our standard. And we have to have a standard. If you didn't have a standard at all, sure, the whole thing would run riot. God gave Adam and Eve a standard in the beginning, and they broke the standard. And you know, when they broke the standard, sin and death entered. They disobeyed God. And as soon as they disobeyed God, death came in. And death came in because sin came in. And because of sin, death came. But before sin, there was no death, no destruction. But they disobeyed God, they broke the standard of God. Now let's read in Romans here, chapter 1, verse 22 on down. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And I was going to preach on seven fools tonight. And I might have preached it before, seven fools. And the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. It's a fool that says that. Because if you look out at them heavens and look onto them mountains, you know there's a creator somewhere that God had to make it. That it didn't just happen by itself, but God's behind it. And God's a plan for me, and God's a plan for you. And I love to preach messages on God's plan of salvation, God's plan of healing, because God has a plan. And I want to know God's plan. And this Bible lets me know God's plan. And this three steps to life, God's plan tonight, there's three steps. Repentance, one of them. That's one of the steps man needs to take. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bound in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, it says here. That's what they were filled with. Amen. Filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. People that sleep with other before they're married, that's not normal. That's fornication. The Bible calls it fornication. Now you can't make them stop it, but it is sin before God. It's fornication. It's still sin. No matter what happens or not, it's still sin. And even as it did not like to retain God under knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. There's people that actually hate God. And if they hate God, they certainly hate you and me, because they're against God, so they're against you and me. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventive of evil things. And the man who made the atomic bomb was an inventor of an evil thing. And you see all these evil things have made to kill another with it today. Whoever made COVID was an inventor of an evil thing. Whoever made AIDS was an inventor of an evil thing. Look, the Bible condemns them here. They're inventors of evil things. And there's a lot of stuff that's man invented. And it's not to help you, it's to kill you. And the Bible's against it, and we need to be against it. Because it's an absolute lie of the devil. Backbiters, haters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents is not the day. That's certainly the day. I tell you, we've lost control in the sense you're not allowed to do with your children what you could have done 20 years ago. You'd be jailed. You're not allowed to take the rod to the back of the fool like the Bible says. Although, but wait down to the teacher telling them, Daddy gave me the stick last night. But maybe we, Johnny, needed the stick. Maybe he needed a good crack with it, as I said. Used to say, I'll give you a queer crack with that. I mean, Lippin said years ago, boys, I'll give you a real good crack with that. And maybe you needed a good crack with it. I can tell you one thing, my mum could never work us boys, but I can tell you another thing. When she said, your dad's home, that was it all sorted out then, just as quick as that. Up the stairs you went like a bullet. But you see, there's no law and order in the day. I've lost it.
Amen. That's the truth.
Law and order's been lost everywhere. Yes. And the cheek in school and places. And I feel sorry for the school teachers, what someone's to put up with. You don't know the half of it, you know. But I'm telling you now, the cheek and the talk. And people years ago, and you were taught to respect your elders. Yes, ma'am, and so forth. And people laugh at that today. But that's the way it should be. And that's the way the Bible teaches it. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, infectionate, implacable, unmerciful, but the only cure for it's repentance. Anybody that does any of these things needs to repent. You know, it's great if you watch Ray Comfort, and I don't know if any of his, some of his brothers know him and sisters maybe, but you know, when he goes out in the streets right out there, and he'd go up to him and he'd say to him, well, are you good, pal? I'm a great fella. Some people think they're great, you know. They think they're that good, they're getting to heaven. So he puts them through the Ten Commandments. He only gets to about two of them in the field. You ever told a lie? Well, I've called a couple. You ever stole? Well, I have maybe stole a couple of wee small things. Well, you're a lying, cheating stealer. Now, it sounds bad. If you've done it once, you've broken. And the Bible says we're all guilty. Every one of us is guilty before God. If we break them commandments, and the law is a schoolmaster that lets us know a wrong that can bring us to Christ. And we need to repent. And I know it's not popular to preach on repentance these days. Everybody talks about receiving Jesus, and that's true. But you need to repent. You need to turn from sin. That means whatever you're doing, don't do it. Stop doing it. Turn around. Don't live in fornication. Don't live in adultery. Do it. Turn around. Come to the Lord plain and clear. To announce your sins is to make an honest, full acknowledgement of the same. You must be clear about it. You must know you're a sinner. You can never be saved till you know you're a sinner. And I tell you, when you take the Ten Commandments, you can soon let somebody know they're a sinner, all right. You'll not have far to go in the commandments to see they broke them. And they broke God's laws.
Yes.
And then look at all these things that we're living in a day. People's not happy today when they're living on an unclean way, but they want to throw it in your face. They want to let you know that they're like that and they don't care what you think about it. But God condemns it. God condemns it. And this Bible here condemns it. I should have read you from the Amplified Bible. And it expounds that scripture. If you read it, Romans 1, and read through it, and you'll see how it's expounded. And doing them things that is unseemly, and God gives them over to the reprobate mind. ways where there's a lot of this going on today, you know, and there's programs on it, Sister Wives. I don't know if anybody's heard of it or not. Well, in Africa, polygamy's legal. There's parts of Africa you can marry as many wives as you want. But you see, when God made Adam and Eve in the beginning, he never made Adam and Steve, he made Adam and Eve. And he never made Adam and Eve plus three other girls, he just made Adam and Eve. That's it. Don't add to the word now. Just leave it the way it is. And when Jesus preached to them, and they tried to dispute these things with him, Jesus took them back to the beginning. Amen. And he said, it was not so from the beginning. God made them male and female in the beginning. And God commanded man to go forth and multiply. God made a man. God made a woman. And God told them to multiply and replenish her. That's God's way. And that's the best way. And marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. That's the Bible. But outside of it, sin. And I tell you, sin is promoted today. It's promoted. And you, I know I'm saying these things, and I don't plan on. And you know I love sports. I do love sports. But you see, sports today, they have sports programs, and women's more or less naked. And the men, and I don't need to even say it, if you've ever watched it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's an absolute joke the way they're dressed. And they know they're doing it. That's the thing about it, they know they're doing it. Now, you tell me, if your me went out like that, we wouldn't be able to do it. Our conscience would prick us. Is that right? There's no way I could run out there, come in here tonight amongst you with a wee pair of undergarments on. I'd be embarrassed to do it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it. But somebody that's no embarrassment in that lets you know there's a spirit on them. And the Bible calls it an unclean spirit. That's what it is. It's a devil. And the devil's on people, and the devil inspires people to strip off, and inspires people to commit adultery, and inspires people. It's the devil does it. But you want to be inspired with the Holy Spirit. And you know why it's called the Holy Spirit? Because he's holy. And that's another thing I didn't maybe mention this morning, but when we talk about revival, then we need to do what the Bible says, sanctify yourselves, for God will work amongst you tomorrow. There has to be a sanctification ever before you get to the Holy Spirit. You know, there's three things happen. Justification, believing in Christ. Sanctification, where you're clean up. Then there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just like the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest of holies. And years ago, the old Methodists used to preach hard on sanctification. Now people think they don't need it. Well, you still need it. What they preached wasn't wrong. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's the next step, but what they preached is still right. How many believes that? They were godly. They were the people that brought up the saying as well, cleanliness is next to godliness. And it's the truth. And I tell you, God wants his people to be clean, and there has to be a repentance. You must face up to your sins and confess them before God. You have not the power in your own self to break with your sins. You know, sin can hold you. Sin can have dominion over you. It can hold you. That's why you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of God. You need to surrender to the Christ of the cross. And you need his blood to cleanse you and cleanse me. And wash in his blood from all sin. We need the Lord's help. You can acknowledge them. Pray. And God will be merciful to the sinner. Further, to renounce your sins is to engage in an abandonment of the same. You need to renounce them, and then you need to stop them. Smoking a fag. I know William Branham said it's not sin, it's a fruit of it, but it's one dirty habit, I'll give you that. It's the dirtiest habit you'll get, sucking an old dirty fag. There's nothing as dirty as smoking. And you know, if I'm in anywhere at all, I can smell it for a mile. I hate the stuff. I tried it when I was a wee lad, and I thank the Lord it never got a hold of me. I had a friend that got a real grip of him, and he never got off him for years. It grips you. That's the devil. And drinking's the same. You can fiddle about with drink, and the next thing you know, you're an alcoholic. And the thing can control you. And I tell you, that's bad. And I know people, and they could take a drink and leave it, and that's fair enough, but there's other people couldn't. They have to get blutered every time. Legless. And they don't know where they are, and they do all sorts of stuff when they're drunk because they don't know where they are. And the devil makes a real fool of them. But I renunciation of it all, get rid of it. And then there's the modern day, you see all this fiddling about with witchcraft and all this stuff, and people think it's a game. There's spirits behind it. Spirits behind all that stuff. It's the devil. And people think it's popular. I can tell you it's not popular if some demon gets a hold of you. And you get a demon gets a hold of you, and I'll tell you there's a whole lot of churches you'll go to, and that devil will still come out with you. It'll take a real Holy Spirit filled man to pray for you, to get you delivered from it. Because Jesus said himself, this kind only comes out by praying and fasting. And the devil wants to control people, and he wants to fill them with his demons. But we want them filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Yes. Renounce all hidden secrets and all hidden sins, and get clean and clear with God. Acts 5 verse 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slay and hanged on the tree. Him of God exalted the right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It's through the Lord Jesus that you can have strength to have your sins forgiven. Number two, receive the Savior. So number one, the first step is repent of your sins. The second step is receive Christ. You could shake hands, you could join a church, you could join a movement, you could join a system, but the thing about all them things, they have no power in them. But if you receive Jesus Christ, there's power in that name. Look what he says in John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, praise God. Christ came to save us from our sin. Himself took our sins. He took our place. He died on the cross. And God raised him from the dead on the third day, that we might have forgiveness of sin and receive eternal life. Jesus took our place. Let us all be reminded of the purpose of Christ's death and resurrection in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. You say you've listed all the sins of Satan. There was no bigger sinner than this man that's preaching. I know that. But I'm forgiven. I repented of my sins and I came to the Lord. I acknowledged my wrong. And the Lord's washed me and cleansed me. And then you need to do the same. And God will cleanse you and he'll wash you. And he'll purify you. But you need to come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to come to some church. I'm not asking you to come to the movement. I'm asking you to come to the person of the cross, Jesus Christ. And he's got that power. Jesus Christ is a Savior for no one but sinners. He didn't come to save nobody else. He came to save sinners. Matthew 9, verse 12 and 13. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what it meaneth. I will have mercy and sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. My friend, this evening there's one thing I've got going for you tonight. The Lord loves you. He loves a sinner. God loves a sinner tonight. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten, special, unique son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's the next verse say in verse 17? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You cannot be saved any other way, only through Christ. I don't care what man it is or what program he has. If he points you to anything other than Jesus Christ, he's wrong. People could say there's no salvation outside of this, or there's no salvation outside of that. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. Luke 15 and 2 tells us, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them. Remember, Jesus Christ himself committed no sin. He had no sin. You cannot be saved with a man that's a sinner. He's no better than you and me. You cannot be forgiven with a man that's a sinner. He's no better than me and you. But Jesus Christ was a sinless, spotless, blameless Lamb of God. He had no sin. But your sin and my sin was placed on him. He took it on him freely at the cross. And he bared our sin to Calvary so that we could be forgiven. And all he's asking is that we repent and we receive him. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm pointing you to the man in the night that never done no sin. You could tell me about a great prophet. I know great prophets, but they were born sinners. They couldn't save you. If they stood here tonight, they'd say, I can't save you, but I can point you to the Savior. Amen. It is Jesus Christ alone that saves. And here's the thing about it, he's willing to take you. Amen. He'll take you just the way you are. Yes. If you'll acknowledge your condition and come to them, he'll take you how you are. And when you receive him, he'll give you the power. Power to become sons of God. Daughters of God. Jesus Christ on the cross personally bore our sins in his own body. 1 Peter 2:24. He his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes ye were healed. Amen. Christ Jesus died on the cross for our sins to bring us to God. To bring us to God. We were away from God. We were at a distance. Now, a few months, but a year ago now, I'm sure it's maybe over a year, 2 years, but it was all talk about social distancing. And you had to be at a distance. And the COVID put people at a distance. You couldn't come too close in case COVID jumped on you. But man has a condition far worse than COVID. And that's a condition called sin. And that condition called sin has separated man from God. But Jesus Christ on the cross bridged the gulf so that you can come right close to God through Christ. He's the way to God. And he's the only way to God. There's no other way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's that light. This is the third step to light. You know what this third step is? Rejoice in salvation. If you're repentant of your sins, if you've received Jesus Christ, you need to rejoice in your salvation. You, the saved, need to rejoice when you hear the gospel. You know, people say, well, I've heard it before. Well, you're hearing it again. It's good to hear it. And you need to pray for people that's never known it, that they're going to receive it and get saved. Amen. I was thinking this evening, how could you be against a man that's preaching the gospel? If you were, you'd be against God. If a man's preaching the gospel, you need to pray God strengthen him. God bless him. Is that right? I thank God for every man that preaches the true gospel. Salvation is not by feeling, it's by faith. The blood of Jesus Christ puts your sins away. Away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be remembered against you no more. But it is the word of Jesus Christ that puts your doubts away. The blood puts your sins away, but the word of God puts your doubts away. God doesn't want you to doubt. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't doubt it, just believe it. And God wants you to rejoice in your salvation by turning thanks back for the Lord saving your soul. The Lord saved your soul. Maybe some of you think, you know, some people think, well, I was easier to save than the other fella. He was more in sin than me. That's a wrong thought. There's no difference. God can save, no matter how deep you are or how holy you think you are. The boy that's holy is probably harder to save because he thinks he doesn't need it. But we're all sinners. And the Lord can save everyone that'll come. Praise God. Rejoice by telling others how God saved you. How long is it from you said to somebody, you know, I'm saved. I'm saved. How did you get saved? By believing on the Lord. Tell others about it. Don't be afraid to tell them you're saved. I tell you, the boys at work and places are not afraid to tell you a dirty joke. We shouldn't be afraid to tell people that we're saved. Rejoice by seeking to bring others to the knowledge of full salvation. Tell others about salvation. Rejoice because you've come from darkness into the light. Let me read you the words of this little hymn as I come to close this evening. Out of my bondage, sorrow night, Jesus I come. Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want, into thy wealth. Out of my sin, into thyself. Jesus, I come to thee. I tell you, he's a Savior tonight. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come out of darkness, into the glorious light of the gospel. Three simple steps you can take and be saved. Let's bow our heads tonight. And God bless those that's tuned in this evening. Somebody's tuned in tonight and you're not saved. You can be saved with these three simple steps. You need to acknowledge you're a sinner. The Bible says you are. It says you're born in sin and sheep in iniquity. But then you need to repent of that and turn from your sin. Then you need to see that Christ can save you. And you need to come to Him. Call on His name. Romans says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then you need to rejoice in it once you've got it. Rejoice in salvation. Be glad you're saved on your way to heaven because of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you tonight for the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Foolishness to them that perish, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. Lord, I pray that you'll bless everyone in this room. Strengthen them and bless them. Meet their every need. I ask you for those listening in tonight, for every man and woman. Bring them to the knowledge of salvation in Christ Jesus. Bring them to godly repentance, that they'll call in your name. Bless those that are saved watching in tonight. Help them in their struggles and their difficulties. Bless them and strengthen them in the name of the Lord. Father, I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and don't forget our prayer and Bible study on Thursday night, and the Lord bless each one.
Let's stand on our feet and we'll sing that hymn, "There Will Never Be a Sweeter Story." A story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul. And
there